give us, while we have some time this hour, a few more of your case studies that you would call your favorites.
Boy, there's so many, but I tell you, something about the National Mall is there has been so much activity in that one little area of Capitol Hill. It would make a great documentary, and I've put my feelers out there, but I got to just preface what I'm going to say here is a lot of this sounds like science fiction, but I don't think it is. I think there's no way these people are telling the same stories over a period of time at the same location. None of these people know each other. But something about July, too. I think what it is that more people are outdoors. It's warm. They're looking at the sky. And just that's just part of our society. So that's when they notice these things more. Okay, so particularly there was one case, a man and woman are walking back from after a fireworks show, and they see this little spherical thing just darting around. They called it a digital dragonfly. They didn't know what else to call it. They'd never seen anything like it before. Apparently these things are very common in D.C., and my partner has photographed them many times. But these people, particularly the man, very intelligent guy, and he'd struggled with this thing for years in his mind as to what it was or what it wasn't. Clearly wasn't built by humans. He said it felt like it was scanning them and the entire area, and the way it moved silently, backwards, forwards, up and down, in just like sort of like insect-like maneuvers. But he said that he felt that it had an intelligence to it, and that it was clearly not made here. So these things happen a lot on the mall. Like I said, one of the most astonishing cases of all is probably the millennial celebration, January 1st, 2000, appropriately kicking off the most prolific D.C. UFO sightings period in the history of D.C. Because there was almost a million people on the mall that night watching the event. And after it was over, around 1 o'clock in the morning is when the show really started, when these cylindrical motherships came through the area and then launched many smaller triangular craft, and which were swooping down on the crowd repeatedly for quite a while. And at some point, the military helicopters came in and the UFOs vanished, just like they did in 1952. They all just vanished. And as soon as the helicopters were gone, they all came right back. And we only have two people have come forward with that. That was the other strange thing about it. It reminded me of Men in Black with the neuralizer thing.
Right.
There was a strange individual there. Strange because he stuck out as he was wearing a business suit. Everybody else was kind of casual. It was freezing, and he didn't seem to be bothered by it at all. But anyway, he came through there. He had some sort of telepathic communication with people as well as verbal. But he was saying weird things, and one of the witnesses said to him, "Wow, what do you think of this UFO?" He says, "Well, most of these people around here are not going to remember this, but you and your wife will." Well, it's an odd comment. It's a really strange thing to say unless you know that some sort of mass amnesia is going to be induced. And I imagine, again, videos. I'm sure somebody within a crowd of hundreds of thousands of people had video of the event, but that never surfaced either. The thing that got me, though, honestly, started, like I said, is that we have actual 35-millimeter film of UFOs swarming over the Capitol and actually landing on the roof. Now, that's shortly after the events of 9/11. That should never have happened. Never. And it's another reason I think that the government doesn't want to address this, because it makes them look somewhat impotent. You know, you call this a prohibited airspace. You have to have a permit to even fly anywhere near that area, let alone land. I mean, nobody lands things on the mall, or let alone the Capitol. So for that to happen the way it did, according to the photographs, like I said, the Capitol Police, they don't want to look incompetent. I mean, they have a really hard job there keeping crowd control, because there's so many people that are constantly coming and going through that facility.
Sure.
But it has a weird history. It has a very bizarre history. One of the things that so my partner took this picture of UFOs landing in 2002. That same year, a letter surfaces publicly from these two daughters of a reverend, I think his name was...
Don't worry about names.
Yeah, anyway, he claims that his cousin, who was Secretary of State for back under, I think, the Truman era, he said that his cousin took him down, sworn to secrecy, took him down under the Capitol to the sub-basement and showed him the bodies of the little aliens, if you can call them that, but, you know, little people, creatures, whatever, floating in this fluid in these glass containers, and nearby was the wreckage of some kind of metallic craft. Now, that doesn't make any sense by itself, but when you put it together with all this other information, which is Colonel Corso had said the alien bodies from Roswell were taken to our Army hospital, Walter Reed, in Washington, D.C., for autopsy.